Welcome back to the Jojatorium.
Well, remember too, whenever we found the German Scheisser porn.
Let's not lie to each other. You're in twerk classes over there. That's
yeah.
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 It's the fitness class.
Working on them TikTok videos you like so much.
Dead face.
Just got right in front of you.
Welcome back to Jojatorium. You know who it is. It's Adam. It's Matt. We're decaying with the boys. And if Puddle of Mud can cover Nirvana, you can ask that cute girl out.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What? This is my Christmas
Merry
gift?
Christmas. Yeah, I wrapped it.
You waited until I was going to do a promo? All right. Yep. Thank you.
Open it up.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You gave me one off camera, so.
I did, yeah. And we'll talk about that in a second, but.
It's like watching my kids open a gift.
Oh, yeah, baby. What the fuck you know?
Merry Butt Rock Christmas.
It's a I got a Creed shirt and a Three Doors Down t-shirt. Oh my God.
Does it have album cover on both
yes.
t-shirts?
On both t-shirts. Matt's favorite albums on each t-shirt.
Thank you so much for these. I'm rocking these immediately.
Cut the commercial. Wardrobe change.
Yeah, quick break. I'll come back with a promo.
Yeah.
And we're back. I have an awesome gift now. But you should know that Seinfeld hooked you being a show about nothing. So let Jake and the Dingus dig deep into your ears with their pod about nothing. These two hosts bring hilarious banter, great interviews, intriguing guests, and the right dosage of distraction from the craziness of your everyday life. Jake and the Dingus can be found on Spotify, Anchor, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. Give them a follow on Twitter and Instagram with @JakeDingusShow, but just make sure you tell them that the boys sent ya. Welcome back. We are on the other side of Christmas, and we're sitting here with you all on New Year's Day.
Happy 2024.
New year, new us. Kinda.
Not really.
Nah. But apparently my voice echoes to the annals of jobbers because...
Annals.
We originally invited, a friend of the podcast, returning guest, Mr. Jason Mesher. But he decided to bring his brother because I talked a lot of shit. And apparently it is my time to eat dicks. So Jason brings Zach. So I have in the Jojatorium today the full team of Mesh Mash Brewing, one of the best up-and-coming homebrew teams on the scene right now.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
It's a delight to have you guys. And everyone should know too that Jason is coming here as a champion. We didn't have anything to give you other than our love and admiration. But you won a Maddie for top episode back on episode 100.
If I could have a moment for a speech,
absolutely,
brief speech.
Absolutely not.
I would like to thank my kids for watching the episode again and again and again and again.
I think that still only counted as one, unless it was on separate accounts.
I was going to say, are you just making clone accounts?
No.
No?
No.
Maybe they send it to all their friends.
On the almost 50 years old, I'm still not exactly sure how YouTube works.
I mean, that's understandable because YouTube is confusing. But our YouTube is not confusing because you guys have been following us at Decay and WTB and our views are through the roof. So right now, follow Jason's kids and just follow us on YouTube at Decay and WTB. Check us out. But again, we're happy to have you guys here. The Jojatorium was getting kind of cold, just me and Adam clinging to each other for warmth. So it's nice to have two other thick guys in here with us. Thicktopia is getting larger by the day.
Sure is.
I feel like we need a flag, if we were going to do LARPing, we need a Thicktopia flag.
You LARP?
No, I don't, but...
I'm going to tell you right now, Zach, if you expose yourself on this podcast, we're going to go in.
I do like the idea of a Thicktopia flag.
I do, too.
What would it look like?
Where's Steve from...
It better have my Wakanda claws on.
Oh, yeah. Flubber bikini Wakanda claw Adam. So we are here in the Judge Tour, and we have two great brewers with us. And it is round one. You guys brought three rounds of beer, so we will find spaces for all of these things. But it is round one. You guys brought beers. Put it together what we call it. Round one beers. What are we drinking, guys?
Okay, so the first one we're going to be drinking is called Winter with the Yinzers. This is our collab with the fine folks at Fifth Season Brewing, Mike and Katrina. It's brewed with Maris Otter, chocolate and crystal malt, Willamette hops, and a little bit of cinnamon and some orange peel zest that was expertly zested by none other than Jason Mesher here.
It's incredible that a hand motion like this is so easy for you.
I've had 43 years of practice.
It's paying off.
Yes, it is.
Yes. I saw the spent oranges. They were zested to perfection.
Zested smoother than the baby's bottle.
There's nothing more to get off of.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah, so it sounds like we have quite an array of flavors in this thing. So while you guys are cracking beers, I'll let everybody know that Mesh Mash is here, and they are on Facebook right now. It's at Mesh Mash Brewing on Facebook, and they've been in trash competitions. You guys have been out in Westmoreland County as well. Sound effects, I love it. So you have been here before. You're pretending like you're an old crafty vet. So what we're going to do is also shout out Mike and Katrina from Fifth Season. So they are Fifth Season Brewing on Facebook, Instagram. And don't forget, you don't type in Fourth Season because that's a whole nother area. So it's Fifth Season Brewing. And shout out to those guys. They always make incredible stuff. So as Adam and I are going to take our first sips, why don't you guys talk a little more about the process on this one?
Good, Zach. I'll let you.
Thank you. So this was my first collab with anybody else. I know Jason's been here at the Jojatorium helping Adam out a couple different times, but it's my first time having a chance to see how other home brewers work. You know, my first time seeing a grain mill operated. Mike and Katrina use an all-in-one system, which is vastly different from the system that Jason and I use as far as transferring things from the brew pot into the carboy and everything like that. So just a lot of different they were doing a brew in the bag on that day, so which Jason and I actually just bought a new brew bag that we're gonna try to start dipping our toe into the into the all grains brewing process. So
cool.
It was good to have two people that actually know what they're doing kind of show us the ropes a little bit, and I was able to take notes on my phone, which Jason made fun of me incessantly about.
But now you'll be prepared. It was like a peek at Christmas future. For
absolutely,
you guys.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Which is wonderful. So, and and we'll get more into that collab here as we go on, but I know that my partner is he's sucking that thing down like it has the secret in it. So
I'm very thirsty. Yeah. I haven't had a beer yet today.
So, Adam, you had your first couple sips there. What are you thinking about this bad boy?
I mean, I think it's a wonderfully spiced winter warmer. All of the spices are very nice and balanced. And the thing that really steps out to me is, like, the English esters. I'm guessing it's an English yeast. I don't know if you guys remember or not. But, yeah, really good. It's definitely a combination of that. The spices, the English yeast, and, like, a good fermentation control. It's a wonderful beer.
Yeah.
So it's really good. Really smooth for 8.2% too. No booziness really. Obviously it's going down pretty clean for me. yeah, it's great. Great winter warmer.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I actually do like, I do get a little bit of the booziness, but in a way where it's like that nice, like chest warm. I do like that.
Yeah.
So it's not overwhelming. The spices are all on point. There's that nice little twinge of sweetness in there too. And I'm sure that's going to come from some of the extra oranges that you jerked off into the brew. So that's
I do taste the orange jizz.
I do taste orange jizz. This is delicious orange jizz beer.
I believe that's just called pulp, right?
Sure, Zach. Can we just go with orange jizz, please?
It's zest.
It's right. You're not wrong.
A little bit of my sweat in there, too. You know?
I thought something salty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did taste a little salt.
Correct me if I'm wrong. When we were brewing, weren't there like an infestation of bees going on at their place?
Yeah.
They had bees?
It was a sweet ass Brew Day. Yeah.
Do they have like some honey over there or something? Or
I have
like...
no idea, but they just said that they'd been creeping out and you know, were buzzing around their driveway all over the place. But you know, so there might be a little bit of extra honey in the in the brew as well.
I'll take what I can get. So while we sip on this delicious beer, we have to move into a segment that I got to write into this whole thing, and I'm so happy because we're bringing it back. I haven't said it for a while. Celebrity birthdays! Woo! Bow, bow, bow. It's because they're better than you, and you know it. And December 26th was a very important day because Jared Leto, amazing artist, amazing musician, he turned 52.
He's not that great.
Lars Ulrich, Ulrich, however you want to say it, turned 60.
Saint Anger drums.
And then Adam turned 38.
Woo!
Well, at least I'm younger than both of those
assholes.
That's
true. So, Adam, happy birthday to you, sir.
I guess I share a birthday with a bunch of fucking dicks.
Yeah, you do. However, you, sir...
Is there somebody cool that has my birthday?
I couldn't find anybody.
Oh, damn it.
I didn't really try hard, but these are the ones that popped up first.
Maybe like Henry Winkler, the Fonz, maybe?
No. No? No, no, no. He's born on the 27th, actually.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon, maybe?
No.
Damn.
So, I know... So, we hung out.
We did.
Yeah. So, we got to hang out, and we had a nice brunchish kind of thing down at the Irish pub.
Yeah, down at the Piper's Pub.
Yeah, Piper's Pub. Fantastic. I watched Adam throat an entire Scotch egg.
Oh, yeah.
Real easy. That was tight.
Dude, I was dying for that all weekend. It's all I wanted on my birthday was a Scotch egg.
That hot sauce looked really good that came along with it.
It was very good. It was hot. Very nice and spicy, but had some good flavor to it still.
Amazing beers down there, too.
Their food was great. Yeah. Great, a good selection of European beers and local beers. Yeah, check it out anytime. But yeah, honestly, all I wanted was a Scotch egg, and I got really worried because we showed up. They're like, just the brunch menu, and Scotch egg wasn't on there.
Like, oh no!
And then the waiter was, as soon as I was about to panic, he was like, also we have the pork roll and the Scotch egg.
And the crowd had a sigh of relief.
All I wanted was a Scotch egg for my brunch.
So I got to be next to Adam while he kind of got like a little day drunk, which was nice. But we were like keeping it kind of civil. Like my mom showed up. I had my kids, my wife, and your parents were there. And your wife was there. So
I had to be responsible.
Kind of. And then... From my understanding, you carried on.
Went lights out, buddy. Yeah, so dropped my parents back off here at my house. They went home. We took care of the dog. And then I drove the Old Thunder out in Blonox, PA. And then I didn't touch a steering wheel the rest of the night.
Thank God. Yeah, so, but also my understanding that, Jason, you did make it out there.
I did.
Yeah, so you were sidecarding over there at Old Thunder. Did you protect?
Oh, so you're going to get a report from him on what happened?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm going to ask you. You were like, oh, I had a few beers and I didn't get hammered and get lost in the bathroom.
I drank Jason, plenty of water.
I mean, at Old Thunder, we're completely well-behaved. You know, a couple of beers here and there. He was fine. And I feel somewhat responsible that we ended up at Old Thunder in a good way because Adam goes, I was trying to pick out places to go to for my birthday, obviously that I like, but I knew you were coming to hang out after work, so I wanted to go someplace you've never been. That was my first venture into Old Thunder, and it was fantastic. We had a good time.
Fantastic. So being there, and by the way, you don't got to lie for him. I know what happens whenever he gets around double IPAs.
In all fairness, I didn't have anything over 7% there.
But how many beers did you have?
At Old Thunder, I don't think that many.
Five-ish. In like 3 hours.
And then you went to Dancing Gnome.
And I was super well behaved.
I think at Dancing Gnome.
Wait, were you even there?
Yes.
See?
Whoops.
Exactly. There, yeah. I think he drank more glasses of water than beer at Dancing Gnome at that point. Just
that does make sense.
Yes.
Well, they also have the water tap there. So
which is awesome. Yeah, I wish more breweries would do that. You just kind of walk up and get the little pull on that thing.
I was trying to survive.
But you had a star-studded outing. You had some great people out there.
I was, and no knock on Dancing Gnome, I wasn't sure what was going on, but I thought the Blue Sparrow Bus might be open there for food.
Ooh, yeah.
They weren't, so I just drank.
Just drank like liquid bread.
Why there was a great dumpling, Pittsburgh Dumplings with a Z was at Old Thunder. Great dumplings. If you ever see them out and about,
that's the one to get.
Yeah, good food truck. So I had some of their food there.
Okay.
But was also like saving room for maybe a Blue Sparrow burrito or something.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
So,
but double IPAs did happen there.
Yeah. So you guys were out there. You know, you guys hit two spots. Were there any beers that were standouts for you guys from Old Thunder and Dancing Gnome that you want to shout out in case anyone comes through?
I mean, the first one I had at Old Thunder, and I didn't have as many as Adam, mom and dad.
Your mom and dad listens?
Maybe. How do you think I got so many views?
Sup. Jason's mom.
Sup, Jason's dad.
Hell yeah, dude.
I guess it's also Zach's mom.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's fine.
Yeah. Don't worry.
I'm just here. That's
yeah,
fine.
We're
don't worry. We're going to embarrass you later.
Yeah.
But they had a red IPA at Old Thunder that I really liked. And, I mean, at Dancing Gnome,
yeah.
The Czech Lager, you can't go wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That Czech Lager.
Did you get the Czech nice. Dark Lager?
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
That was also my standout at them. And then at Old Thunder, they had a Polish style lager.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good, yeah.
What was the name of that one? Do you remember?
Don't remember the name. But okay. It's the Polish style lager.
Because, you know, I go right
I also
by.
Don't remember the name of the Czech Dark Lager now, but it was my favorite.
There's something about a good Czech Dark Lager. That's easily become my favorite style of beer recently. Because that collab between Mondays and Cellarworks is like,
yeah,
boom. It's incredible. So I'm going to have to swing by Old Thunder on the way home because Daddy needs some New Year's libations.
Yeah, and it got a little cloudy. I was not like I was overserved, but I also wasn't driving. But Gnome also had some really good West Coast IPAs and double West Coast IPAs.
Nice. Okay.
I tried them all.
Good. Good.
So, yeah.
And not to throw Adam under the bus, there I didn't go to the third stop. Oh, but there was a stop after Dancing Gnome.
There's also a fourth.
Conveniently quiet. So where was the third and fourth?
Sidelines in Millville was the third stop.
So much fun.
I drank Icy Light Mangoes.
Yep.
And the fourth stop was Fired Up Brew House.
Oh, yeah.
Right here,
yeah.
For more Icy Light.
Okay. Great spots. I mean, those are two fun spots.
Yeah, it was my first time actually being at the Fired Up right
here. Because it used to be a bunch of other things.
Yeah, it used to be probably most famously.
Oscars?
It was the Hop House.
Yeah.
Yeah, most famously. At least in recent history.
Yeah.
But yeah, really good. Really good beer. Really good draft beer.
Awesome.
That's all I really remember.
Cool.
Because it was like 12:30 at night.
Yeah.
And my wife was a real trooper.
She always is. So you know, happy birthday again, Adam.
Thank you.
Glad that you made it to their side here.
Yeah. And once again, fuck Jared Leto and Lars Ulrich.
You guys share a birthday. So we
It's not my fault.
No, it's Jesus's fault.
They should have been born on Christmas.
Well, Jared Leto likes to believe that he is. He has a cult.
Yeah, he really
has
does.
A cult. So we You know, you guys are here. We want to catch up with some meshers. So we just talked about your collab with Fifth Season. It sounds like the process went really, really well with you guys. Mm-hmm. Are there any future plans for you guys to link back up and maybe do another beer?
I mean, I'm sure we will. We're still in the process of setting up what we eventually would be our brew lab. We're still brewing in poor Zach's garage right now.
Yeah. Okay. My what? Wife is not excited about, except for the Imperial Stout that we brewed, because my entire basement smelled like chocolate. So she told me
awesome.
Anytime I wanted to brew that, we were more than welcome to. So
oh, shit, we can get wrecked at your house.
but yeah, I mean, we had such a great time with them and consider them very close friends. So anytime that they want to have us back out there or, you know, once weather breaks a little bit, maybe go brew poolside over by my house or something like that until we get our little building squared away.
That sounds good. Sounds good. So, you know, festival season is done, and we all know here down in Jojotorium, that's when the mad scientist gets a little experimental with what he's doing. Do you use this time to also try to experiment with some new styles, some new profiles? Are you trying to kind of reach into a bag that you haven't reached into before or try something or perfect something?
Well, like I said before, we're, you know, kind of working our way to step away from the extracts and more into the all grain brewing. So we're kind of looking at what type of, you know, recipes and brew styles we can, you know, experiment with a little bit there. We had talked a little bit about, you know, maybe trying like a smoked stout, try to figure out what the grain bill would be to try to get those flavors, you know, exactly right. That type of thing. So,
okay, cool. Well,
yeah, we had a little talk about smoked stouts over chicken
did?
Wings. Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So, and these two can tell you, I pretty much obsess about making beer. So I'm texting one of these two. I'm probably more Zach than Adam.
Yeah.
Hey, what about this for an idea? How about for an idea? When you want to do this?
I'm trying to balance a 2.5-year-old, and my wife is expecting baby number two, and then I have to deal with texts coming in about, like, you know, hey, when do you think we're going to get to Peru again? I'm like, oh,
well,
you're killing me.
Let me just say this. Hey, congratulations, hey. And I'm sorry. So, if you could, though, I mean, there's lots of styles out there. We named a bunch of them, and I can honestly say I've moved away from IPAs. I'm on to dark lagers more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you guys would like to try to take your hand at? I mean, there are some things out there that homebrewers are trying. They're trying to get back more into the hazy game because that kind of faded away, trying to bring that back. You might try a glitter beer if you guys are weird. But is there anything, if you could, what would you guys want to try to throw your hat on to make?
I mean, I know we talked about, I have a kegerator in my house, so we can maybe do some stuff, lager some things a little bit longer. So maybe just try to do a traditional lager or a cold IPA or something like that. You know, okay. Just something a little different than what we've tried already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same thing for you, Zach?
Yeah, we had been discussing the cold IPA, I think, last week or so?
Yeah.
So. Cool, yeah.
Yeah, that really came into popularity this last summer. So, yeah, that's a hot style.
That'd be really fun to see you guys give that a whirl. It'd be fun. And speaking of your brewing process, I know you guys have talked about, you know, Fifth Season did the brew in the bag for this collab right here. Mm-hmm. Are you guys still on the same equipment as before? Has there been any upgrades? Like, have you guys tried to make any transitions in anything?
I'm trying to think if we upgraded or not. I mean, we still boil over the burner, the open flame. We still use carboys. We still bottle our beverages.
We have moved away from the ice bath in order to cool down into to pitch the yeast. So we got an immersion chiller,
nice.
You know, the last couple of brews that we've had, we've just set the brew kettle up or the brew pot up in my yard, and then put the immersion chiller in there, and just had the water run down. So now I have a nice singed patch of grass in my yard where the brew kettle was sitting. So, you know,
another thing for your wife to absolutely love.
I told Jason, it looks like the world's smallest crop circle is just sitting in my thing. So
we have moved away from transferring from fermenter into bottling bucket from a distance in the past. The beer I brought on last year. I mean, I physically just dumped a bucket way up here down into the bottling bucket down here.
The amazing case of the missing oxidation.
I don't know where it happened.
How did that not taste like shit?
I believe Adam referred to that on the podcast as our processes that we were using at the time. So, you know.
As we lovingly called it, your processes that you were going through.
But, I mean, that's great. In the immersion chiller, wait until you brew the smoke stout. In the winter, that stuff chills really nice with the cold groundwater. So,
I mean, with all that too, do you guys see something on the horizon that you want to upgrade to before you start getting back into festival season? Is there anything that you guys kind of have on your wish list right now?
As far as equipment?
Yeah.
I mean, the all-in-one system was really, really nice.
It does look nice. I agree. I did not get that for Christmas. Santa did not bring me that.
It is a space saver, that's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Well, then I'll ask you guys, what are the goals then for Mesh Mash? Because we are in 2024, new year, new me. What do you guys want to do in 2024?
I mean, for 2023, we went in saying we were going to participate in two, I think. That was our goal. We set for ourselves two homebrew festivals. I think we did four.
Nice.
That is correct, yep.
Double it.
probably a little too ambitious, but we had fun and we enjoyed it so much. I would, for me, Zach can have an answer probably different than this, but I would like us to participate in the trash homebrew competition, and maybe another one or two that we didn't do this past year, but maybe go back to a couple of ones that we did.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree that we definitely want to try to get at least one entry into a trash competition this year. I know last year, you know, with us being so new to homebrewing and things like that, I thought it would be more advantageous for us if I just stewarded for a day. So I pass beers around and the judges let me sip and taste and discuss the flavors with them. So I feel like, you know, I'm a little more prepared to head into competitions like that. So that's one thing that, one that I'll agree on. And it would be great to try to do a couple of festivals that we maybe are that we missed throughout the year.
Fantastic, so. Yeah.
They beat me to the goal I was going to set for them.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, the trash competition and anything that's a BJCP sanctions competition, mm-hmm. any styles that you guys think you're, like, happy with but, like, need notes on, those are the beers to put in. Because even if they don't perform to the best, you get good feedback on mm-hmm. how to improve them.
Okay.
And so if it's anything you like to brew and want to brew well, throw those in too. Like, whatever you're already brewing well and whatever you want to brew well, you'll get good feedback.
Okay. Yeah.
So
thank
go
you.
For it.
Yeah.
You guys got, I think you guys are on the right path.
Absolutely, yeah. And speaking of being on the right path, you guys have more beers. So we're going to take a quick break, rinse out glasses, get the next beer ready, and we're going to go into a big old thick going over jobbing.
Woo. Round two beers.
All right, let's do it. Break. Welcome back. We took a little break ski here, and the Mesh Mash Brothers went out and got their next beer. So it is round two. You guys run another beer, put it all together. What we call it? Round two beers. What are we drinking?
Okay, so this is another collab. This is with festival season being over. Now it turns into collab season. So Dave Tapp from Tapmore Brewing.
Oh, nice.
Friend of everybody on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He's never been on the podcast. If I'm not
he needs to be.
Yeah.
Is he on the North Hills?
He may have been interviewed.
Yeah, I did interview him briefly on North, but I want him for like a proper.
Yeah.
You heard it here. You better get out of here, Dave.
He was on the North Hills feature, though.
Yeah, he did a great job, too. Yeah, beers are delicious.
But he reached out to us a few times, you know, since we started into this this hobby. And just, hey, you guys ever want to brew a beer? And it just turned out that I had an open day on the day that he was brewing. So we did a sugar plum stout made with homemade sugar plums. His wife and his oldest daughter, I believe. Correct. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. Made homemade sugar plums. And for those of you who don't know what a sugar plum is,
You suck. If you don't know what those are,
well,
you suck.
I honestly didn't know what all went into a sugar plum.
You suck.
I do. Do you?
I actually don't either. I don't know.
Oh.
I would assume you just put sugar on them and like candy and like bacon, but that's probably not right. Yeah.
So allow me to elaborate briefly.
Thicktopia's mayor right here.
Well, the mayor just insults you in his fucking sweater vest. His fucking utility vest here.
It's your show, Matt. You tell the world what a sugar plum is.
No, sir. I'm here to let you have the spotlight. You tell them what's going on with this beer and them sugar plums.
Basically, a nice little dessert rolled up. With hair over
you need to tell me what's in a sugar plum. Otherwise, your parents will let you back in the house.
Get your life in order.
It's a nice little rolled up dessert containing dates, prunes, apricots, and walnuts, all rolled in like sugar. So it's all coated sugar on the outside. So we threw sugar plums into the boil. And we also dry hopped the beer at the end, but the beer was brewed with two-row midnight wheat, brown and chocolate malt, Cascade hops, Saison yeast, and like I said, homemade sugar plums comes in at 8.5%. Different bottle than the first one. So
we got a bomber swing top here.
This is really cool.
I'm ready for this. Yeah, and very cool. I had no idea that's what a sugar plum was. I thought it was really just a candied plum. So.
Well, that's like the common thing people will show it as, like whenever you look at like on TV and everything.
Here, let me get that for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So while you guys are pouring that out, you're collabed with Tapmore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know their socials, though. That's the only problem. I wasn't familiar with the socials.
I believe they're on Facebook. I don't know about much else.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I'm sure if you were to search out Tapmore, at least on Facebook, they might lead to some more there. Jamie, can you pull up Tapmore on, we're not Joe Rogan.
That's your little Jamie. I'm pulling it up.
Oh, thank you, Jamie. So, oh my God, this thing is wonderfully dark as I'm taking my first look at it. Why don't you guys take your sips while I admire the color, the little hints of actually purple on the rims there of this. This thing is going to be flavorful. So while I could take my first sip, why don't you guys just go ahead and kind of describe some of the flavor profile that comes with this.
By all means, go ahead.
I mean, I don't have the tested palate that your everyday podcast hosts have here, but definitely some small hints of chocolate coming through. Definitely picking up a little bit, I don't know, raisiny type flavor maybe. Is
oh,
that,
yeah.
Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, man. You said a little bit of chocolate. This is chocolate, man. That nice play of the first part of the sweetness, and then comes up through like a bitter, mm-hmm. almost like a like one of those cacao bars that you get, okay. like a 75% cacao bar. Like it's just like it kind of hits in that manner, and it plays off real nice and smooth at the end. That's where you get that raisiny taste, mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, that wonderful, wonderful, just pungent taste that a raisin gives you, and it's almost like it dries a little bit too. Which, dude, this is a fantastic beer. I'm really enjoying this.
And if I know you guys know, but if the audience doesn't, you know, Dave and you know the folks at Tapmore, they always dabble in kind of outside the box ideas. So this is just something I think was on his radar. He always wanted to give a try to. So this was his first go at it.
Nice.
So yeah, we just went over there and. Same kind of setup as the Fifth Season folks, you know, brew in a bag, all-in-one, you know, brew system. We had a real nice Sunday afternoon there watching the Steelers lose, of course, but made a good beer in the process.
Mason Rudolph is in. Things are changing. Rudolph's, Matt Canada got fired.
He's changing it around. Rudolph led her away. But, yeah, I also get a ton of dark chocolate, a little bit of raisin mm-hmm. and plum note in there. It's very good, very good. And it is Tapmore Brews on Facebook. That is Tappmoor Brews.
Wonderful. Yeah. And we'll link them in our show notes, too, so you can go right to them and check them out.
Great. It's two couples that brew together, and they do some really creative
stuff. Just incredible, so, yeah. man. Yeah. And again, yeah, they were on the North Hills Homebrew.
Mm-hmm. They were at Homebrew and Chill. Yes, yeah. they were. Yes. They were actually right next to Mesh Mash.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful – yeah, they great interview, too. So while we swerve, while we drive, we do have to swerve into a break. We're going to hear from some of our friends. And actually, breaking news for this one, I have a secret promo that I get to play during the break on this one. Because you should know that two of the best podcasters in the indie scene have come together to formulate Ooh. One of the best movie review podcasts possibly of all time.
Oh.
And one of them might be my favorite.
It's a strong possibility. And you're going to hear from them right now.
Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert, two titans of cinematic review. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong, but always captivating. Your hosts Antonio of the Cult Worthy Cinema Podcast and Justin Henson of the Movie Wire are here to take you back to the balcony.
I really don't do reviews, but for me, it's more about like, hey, everyone, these films exist.
When we go into Siskel and Ebert, we're not always going to agree with Siskel and Ebert, but, you know, there's some aspects we may.
And I think with each episode we're going to do, we're going to understand these guys a lot more than we think we have in all the decades that we've been reading their stuff.
The Balcony debuts Tuesday, January 2nd on YouTube and your favorite podcasting platform. Join us.
Welcome back. Hope you heard something that you like, because again, when you support our friends and you support us, when you support us, do some pretty cool stuff. Back to the Balcony is going to be incredible, and the next part of this show is also going to be incredible, because we have Mesh Mash here. It is round three. You guys brought some beers with you, so before we jump into something, what do we call all this? Round three beers. What are we drinking?
Okay, so we have Black Hole Sun Imperial Stout. Just under 10%, excuse me, 9.5%. The stout that we brought last year on the podcast, it's basically the same recipe, but we just decided to boost it up a little bit, a little more dark dry malt extract and more chocolate malt to help imperialize it. Also brew with some honey, some Fuggle hops, Irish moss, and English ale yeast. Sorry, tongue twister there. So, yeah, step up and enjoy. Hopefully you guys like it.
Wow, dude, what, like the one you brought last time, really good. This thing right here, wow, I'm thoroughly impressed. I got that nice, like boozy candy just smack right at the end of that bad boy. What a play on this thing. What'd you say you guys used for the malt? What was the malt?
Just more chocolate than we did the first time, right? Yeah.
Yep. Jesus, man. The color is amazing, first and foremost. But, I mean, are you getting what I'm getting, too?
Yeah, but I also get, like, this weird in a bad way.
Yeah.
But a unique, it's probably off the yeast, like a banana.
Yeah.
It's like it finishes banana for me.
Yeah.
I think I remember making that note.
An English ale.
I think you remember giving that note at the last time that Jason brought this on. Yeah.
Wow, man. That's incredible.
Which is nice. With all the chocolate, like, a banana ester's not bad.
Yeah.
Now, I know.
It's still a little, to critique, slightly.
Sure.
It's a little thin for 9.5.
Well, yeah.
I wish it had a little more body, but going to brew in a bag, you guys will
You'll
be able to achieve
that
easier.
And we're not looking. I know we talked last year about.
For
9.5. Just enough. Yeah.
I know we talked last year about stouts maybe not being as carved as other beers. I admittedly, where we talk about our successes and our mistakes, I admittedly rushed these into get cold before bottle conditioning was completely over. So I kind of stymied our carbonation process a little bit, I think.
I think it's good. Yeah. I think it finished up fine. It could maybe be a little more, but I don't think so. I think it's good for
but it
the
plays
style.
It plays really well. I mean, for I it being a lower carb, the way the flavor profiles are, you don't need more of the nose on it than you'd get with more of a carb. But this thing right here is playing well. Good mouthfeel. I like the flavor profile. And Adam, you're saying it's a little thin. I mean, I don't mind it. I think it plays pretty well with the flavor profile, especially at the very end, because that thinness almost kind of adds to like the lingering flavors you get with that, like that nice sweet candy flavor at the end.
Yeah. I'm not saying it like completely discounts.
Stop talking shit.
And also, I mean, it's not like,
I'm not saying it completely discounts what it is. I'm just saying that could even add to it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you on that. It adds to it, I believe. Yeah.
And for us, I mean, it was important that, the first two beers we tried, we rode shotgun with some more experienced brewers, home brewers. This one means a lot to us because this is all mesh baby.
Yeah. You guys did a really good job.
Baby.
Acknowledge us.
I don't think I even got that many text messages on this one.
The fucking
they
Usos
were just like,
over
they
here.
Were just like, should we double yeast? I was like, yep.
Yeet.
So while we have these libations, when we sip on this delicious beer in the second half of this, I got it. I'm amazed.
Ground and pound.
Nope. So, I'm amazed because usually when I'm talking shit over the internet, no one really answers because, hey, man, who's going to take their time to answer me? But you decided, Jason, that you were going to answer the bell and brought Zach, unbeknownst to me.
And Adam.
So, here's the thing. You also sent me a fucking promo that I didn't play because you pissed me off. I'll put it right here.
Had a quick question for you. I didn't know, have you been listening lately to the Can with the Boys podcast?
I'm always about a couple weeks behind, but,
I didn't know if you'd come across, but in some of their more recent episodes, they've been talking a lot of smack on Mesh Brewing.
I know. What the hell, bro? I mean, we're turning tail at their taunts. We're afraid of dancing with the devil. Please. When it comes to those two, we're closer to imps than Satan himself.
It's like we're being called out by Adam, who we all acknowledge is the tribal chief of homebrewing, and Matt, the Gene Okerlund / Jim Ross / Tony Schiavone interview type, all rolled into one.
I mean, we have to respond somehow.
What did you have in mind?
I'm thinking you got to go on their podcast next week, and you got to beat them at Adam versus Guest, with a stipulation.
Wait, what stipulation? Did you
want,
like,
something classic, like
Piper against Adonis, WrestleMania 3, loser loses their hair, or a retirement match, HBK against Ric Flair type thing?
We could do something like that, or I was thinking something even better. Winner gets full naming rights to a brand new beer brewed in 2024. No restrictions, no limitations. If the boys are man enough to accept the challenge, then I got an ironclad contract right here for them to sign.
Perfect. I love it. My 7-inch python and my 2-inch biceps are going to be ready to run that bitch.
And after you destroy Bash and Adam versus Guest, people are going to start calling their place the Meshatorium.
You know it. Boys, you heard it here first. December 29th, I will be there in person to take down Mr. Bashline. Mark it down. You heard it here first.
The thing I like about this, when it adds the stakes to it and lets me know that you're letting your nuts hang, is that we are going to do Adam versus guests. Right?
Yes.
And it was supposed to be you versus Adam, but now it's going to be a handicap match. It's going to be the Meshers against Adam, because it'd be unfair if I was on Adam's team, because I wrote the questions, I have the answers.
Oh, actually, you know what? I'm okay with that.
I figured you would be. So the stipulation is, you guys win, you get to name a beer that Adam makes. Unfettered, by the way. You can't make edits. But if Adam wins, he gets to name one of your beers. And I'm just going to say this right now. You two are wholesome gentlemen that have great ideas. This guy...
Your families ain't going to be happy with
he
you.
He suited up in flubber to kill me.
I wanted to say, you know, as much as we're looking forward to this challenge, I am scared to death because I know the names coming from my very dear friend, Adam, will be scathing. We'll be standing at, you know, festivals.
Yeah.
Can I have a sip of, and people will be probably embarrassed to even say it out loud. They'll just probably have to point to the beer they want because he'll make it unbearable.
Oh, you have music themes. Jason's Big Brown Beaver.
But the caveat that I want to throw in here, though, because here's the thing, too. I am this guy's cellarman, and I do help out at festivals. I want to add a stipulation to the stipulations. You have to say the name of the beer when people want it. They can't just point. have to say it.
Does that go?
Oh, yeah.
Both ways?
It's both ways. Okay. Because I don't know if you know this, if you've been watching me long enough, I have zero shame. So you can call whatever the fuck you want. I'm going to say it real loud, and then I'm going to point and say, he did it. So this is probably the most high stakes Adam versus guests I've ever seen. That's why I put on my Creed shirt. I put it on. It's my human clay shirt that Adam just got me. It's so sick. It fits fantastic.
It looks awesome.
It really does. You want to know why? Because Creed looks good on everybody.
That's right.
And so we are in Adam versus guests. You guys are going to go through multiple choice, this or that, and the final question. Now, the final question has been a myriad of different things. It's going to be a surprise for you guys at the end because I want you guys to have fun with the last question. It's nothing like you've ever seen before. Okay? So, because this is a gauntlet match for Adam, coincidentally, it's a handicap match. Adam, you get to go first.
Cool.
We're going into multiple choice. Now, if you're new to this, multiple choice, you get the first crack of the question. If you get it right, you get a first crack at the bonus question. But if you miss any of those, the opposing team gets an opportunity to answer that question. Are you guys prepared?
Let's do it. No, but let's do it. As good as it's going to get.
Adam, the first recorded use of birthday candles came from what country? Greece, Italy, France, or Spain?
Italy.
That is incorrect. Meshers.
Wow.
Okay. They just kissed, y'all. They mouth kissed.
Since there's two of you, you have
a whisper. You can't guess again.
So I was going to guess B to begin with.
Me too. Yeah. Roman candles.
Can you run the other three?
Greece, Italy, and France. You don't have
a lot of French bakeries.
I mean,
you don't have a lot of time. There's two of you.
Yeah.
France.
Incorrect. It is actually Greece. They honor the goddess of worship, and Europeans also use noisemakers to ward off evil spirits.
I'll take the bonus question.
So, Adam, it will go back to you as a bonus question. So, speaking of Greece, Adam, gyros are very yummy.
Oh, yeah.
Spell tzatziki.
Oh, you're a dick.
Oh.
T-Z-I-C-K-I.
Incorrect.
There is no... I'll let my younger brother take this one.
Can you say the word one more time?
Tzatziki. Can I use it in a sentence? You can suck my dick with tzatziki sauce.
You can suck my tzatziki.
I'm going to go with... Now this might be the beer talking.
Okay.
T-Z-A... I-K-I.
Incorrect. The spelling of Tzatziki is T-Z-A-T-Z-I-K-I.
No, too many T's.
Tzatziki.
Too many Z's.
Tzatziki.
So.
We're awful at this so far.
It's good, though, because everyone's having the same struggles, right? It's
right.
0-0.
Right.
So it goes to the Meshers Cheers. Now.
Yeah.
So, Meshers. Birthdays need parties, and what a hell of a party Project X displayed in this R-rated 2012 comedy. Lead character Miles Teller also brought the party to other countries as a gunrunner in this 2016 action flick. Whiplash, Baby, War Dogs, Only the Brave.
That is War Dogs.
That is correct. He starred alongside Jonah Hill in that 2016 flick.
Fat Jonah Hill at the time.
Yes.
Yes.
Thick.
Bonus. Miles Teller is no stranger to Jonah Hill, and Mr. Hill has been busy since he stepped into the limelight. His movie Superbad had some memorable moments, but nothing beat the montage of dicks that Jonah Hill's character was addicted to drawing dicks on everything. What was the original name for the Ghostbusters? Spirit Stoppers, Ghoulie Guys, Ghost Smashers, and D, are they just going to completely ignore the all-female Ghostbusters?
Ghoulie Guys.
Incorrect.
No.
Opportunity to steal.
Can I have the selections again, please?
Spirit Stoppers or Ghost Smashers?
Or D.
It's got to be Spirit Stoppers.
Incorrect. It is
really?
Ghost Smashers.
That's wow. So lame.
Yeah. So the name was actually owned by the original comic book and animated series before any of the movies came out. So
They
had to pitch different names, and Ghost Smashers was one of the 12 different names that they offered.
Well, I guess I got to double up on this next question.
So you're down 0-1, Adam. So sticking with the Ghostbuster, Dan Aykroyd starred in a ton of movies. He had the opportunity to star alongside Jason Biggs in Loser in 2000. This fun but somewhat forgettable flick had a killer song that still rattles this host's heart when it starts to play. What is the name of the band that wanted two tickets to Iron Maiden, baby? Deep Blue Something, Weezer, The Presidents of the United States, or Wheatus?
Wheatus.
That is correct.
Damn it.
This is their one-hit wonder. They never made another song that charted as high as this top 100 track, and it was number one in Australia for 4 straight weeks, and that album went platinum as a result.
I'm just a teenager.
I think we downloaded that off of Kazaa and made a CD on it. Yeah.
Or LimeWire and gave your computer AIDS. So, Adam, you have a chance at the bonus here. One-hit wonders always get the party started, and there wasn't a single place that would have left these songs out during their respective years. Which song is the number one one-hit wonder of all time? Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen, Soft Cell's Tainted Love, Los Del Rio, Macarena, or Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy.
I mean, I was in my developmental years at the time, but I got to go with the Macarena.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Adam takes a 2-1 lead.
Right. This won't last long.
You're what I needed! Your beer's going to suck!
So
the beer won't suck, just the name will.
So the name will suck. There is a final bonus in this round. First person to answer this question gets a point.
Shit.
If Monica was in your life, Erica was by your side, Rita was all you need, and Tina is what you see, what the hell is hanging out with you in the sun?
Sandra.
Correct.
God,
I had to run through my mind. Bow. Damn it. Oh, man.
This is Mambo number 5.
Bump, give me
I'll do the Nana dance.
Oh, yeah. It's tied 2-2. This is probably the most contentious Adam versus guest I've ever had to host.
I don't want these. We're going to name my beer after some stupid song. I don't
probably,
want it.
Probably Dave Matthews.
It will be a Dave Matthews song.
Yes, yes, yes.
It will absolutely be a Dave Matthews song.
In a boy's dream.
Satellite. So we are moving into this or that. Keeping with the theme of parties, birthday parties,
I ain't losing the shit.
What I'm going to ask you guys is I'm going to present you with 2 different parties, and you have to tell me which one was more expensive than the other.
Okay.
So I think it's on to Adam. Since they got the bonus question right, you get first crack at this or that.
Okay.
Adam, you have P. Diddy's Million Dollar Bash at the Plaza Hotel versus Leonardo DiCaprio's lavish 38th birthday. Who had the most expensive birthday?
Damn. I love me some Leo. I'll go Leo.
That is correct. Leonardo spent $4 million while Diddy spent $3 million.
Oh, cheap.
Cheap bastard.
More money than I'll earn in my life.
Meshers. Naomi Campbell's 36th birthday versus Kim and Kanye's Winter Wonderland Xmas party.
36th birthday is one of the choices?
Yes. Put some fucking respect on her name.
It was her lucky number.
Because Kardashian has to be the second one, I think. But it's probably wrong. It's probably too obvious. It's probably wrong.
By all means, go ahead.
I'll hate myself for saying it. But we'll go with the 36th birthday.
That is correct.
Boom.
Oh, yes.
Swerve.
$1.8 million versus $1.3 million.
He tried to swerve you.
Yeah. So, Adam, I think they're up 3-3 right now.
3-3.
Adam, Paris Hilton's La Voyage Rouge versus Cardi B's Build-A-Bear Party.
Got a factory
These were my favorite parties to research, by the way. I got in a fucking rabbit hole.
Who's the first one again?
Paris Hilton's La Voyage Rouge.
That one.
Incorrect. Cardi B's Build-A-Bear Party was $400,000, while the Voyage Rouge was $350,000.
Fuck you, Build-A-Bear.
Still 3-3.
Hug it as hard as you can, and then turn around and make the world go round.
Still 3-3 here.
Oh, come on, Zach.
Hug it as hard as you can, and then turn around and shove it up your ass.
Kylie Jenner's Italian Getaway versus Simon Cowell's 400 guest list birthday party.
I thought it was going to be his 400th birthday.
Right. He could be 400. He's a fucking vampire.
We went away from the Kardashians last time. I said we go with the Kardashians this time. Kylie Jenner.
That is correct.
Boom. Yes.
This one is... This is the most lopsided one because for $250 million, she went to Italy versus Simon Cowell's birthday. It was $3 million.
Oh.
It's amazing.
And then P. Diddy on the same level.
Yeah. Adam.
Oh, thank God there's more.
Down by one.
Getting hot over there?
Yeah. Ain't helping.
Bill Clinton's daughter's wedding versus Liza Minnelli's wedding.
Which one?
Judging by the price, probably her third.
Liza Minnelli's wedding.
That's incorrect. So Bill Clinton's daughter's wedding was $5 million, while Liza Minnelli's wedding was $3.5 million. Meshers to take a commanding 2-point lead going into the last round here. The Prince of Abu Dhabi's wedding versus the opening of the Atlantis Hotel in Abu Dhabi.
Ooh.
Remember, too, that both are owned by the Sultan.
No, I was going to say, yeah. I'll let you roll.
Go with your gut.
I'm going to say the prince's wedding.
That is correct. So the Prince of Abu Dhabi spent $45 million, while the opening of the Atlantis Hotel in Abu Dhabi was $31 million.
What's your favorite Dave Matthews Band song?
So
I fucking hate this.
So for the last question, I found 20 of the WWE and WWF superstars with the highest win totals of all time. Your jobs are to pick 4 individuals to be in your stable. The team with the highest win total with the superstars you've selected wins, and it's a 5-point question. So even though you guys are coming with a 2-point lead, Adam can still defeat you guys because it's a one and done question. So I'll say the names, we'll go to a break, and we'll come back to see what you guys have. So for those of you listening out there, we have Roman Reigns, Triple H, Seth Rollins, Sheamus, Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, Matt Hardy, AJ Styles, Shawn Michaels, The Big Show, The British Bulldog, Bruno Sammartino, Rey Mysterio, Kane, Hulk Hogan, Tito Santana, John Cena, The Undertaker, and Bret Hart. So I'm going to let these combatants go ahead and formulate their stables, and we'll see you on the other side of this break. And we're back, and the combatants here have chosen their stables. These are the stables of individuals who have wrestled in WWE, WWF that have the highest win totals. So, Adam,
I'm scared.
You've turned in The Undertaker, John Cena, Bruno Sammartino, and Randy Orton.
Not bad. Not bad picks.
The Meshers have turned in Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, John Cena, and Bret Hart.
I feel better about my picks. Bret Hart got jobbed out a lot in the early days.
He did have tag titles.
The highest five wrestlers: Hulk Hogan,
fuck,
Tito Santana, John Cena, The Undertaker, and Bret Hart. With a total of 6,729 wins, the Meshers take home.
They dropped Bret Hart out so hard.
I know, but he was there. He was their guy for so long. So those top ones, Hulk Hogan had 1,574 wins.
I didn't think Hogan was there. Like, Hogan was there, but I didn't think he did, like, house shows and shit.
Oh, yeah, he did all that shit. I thought it was, like, pay-per-view shit. Only. Yeah, no.
Fuck.
Tito Santana had 1,783.
That's the surprising one.
That's surprising.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. John Cena, 1,787. The Undertaker, 1,836. And Bret Hart, a staggering 1,882.
How can they do Orton like that?
There's
Orton.
He hears voices in his head.
He's clocking in at 1,274.
What place did that put him in?
He is in the bottom fourth.
There are moments in my life that I'll never forget. My wedding day, the birth of my kids. This is number four.
Is it right
day,
here?
The day we took down Adam and I versus again. Bobby Nacho.
I know. You got to bounce back next time we have a guest. We got to pick a puff cake.
I thought we had.
I had to bring in the brains.
So I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to say this right now. I don't think congratulations.
Thank you.
But I don't think
asterisk coming
for a hot second that if it was me and him together, you guys would even snip our fucking jockstraps.
What was the point differential on that?
Large. Yeah. No, it wasn't so bad.
Orton was a bad choice.
Yeah, Adam, you came in at 6,383 and the Meshers came in at 6,729.
Oh.
Right. So not a sizable victory, yeah, but a victory nonetheless.
Pretty big, yeah.
So here's what I want to propose. At a future time, we have to bring in a neutral third party.
Okay.
I would probably recommend someone who does trivia most often, someone who's a really good host at trivia, probably someone that works at Mondays on Tuesdays, Katrina from fifth season, to come in here and challenge us to bar trivia. And maybe what we should do is pick a charity, have people donate, back us, and we can donate money to a charity.
Ooh, I like that.
That sounds fantastic.
That's
yeah,
a good idea,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So it'll be the boys taking on the Meshers at a future date to be determined.
But in the meantime, I have to name my beer something stupid.
You don't know that. Maybe we'll come up with something actually cool.
No.
It's possible.
So
in a boy's dream.
So we are on the other side of this episode, and it's been a blast having you guys on. Fresh. I really do.
Into me.
Just I hate that song too.
To all of my listeners and drinkers.
Yeah.
Anything named after a Dave Matthews Band lyric, it's that was there.
We actually probably won't even name it after Dave Matthews Band song, but it's nice to make him think.
Oh, you should, just to make me scream.
Psychologically, that we're going to do that.
You should.
We should, but we might
not. You got to make me pay for this.
I'll tell you what I would do, because I fucking hate him. I'd pick the number.
You hate me or Dave Matthews?
I hate Dave Matthews so much.
Both.
But to piss you off, I'd be like, This is a pale ale, and I'm calling it Ants Marching. It has nothing to do with the beer. And I just want him to say it. But
only if we can have a snare track behind him just going.
It sounds terrible when you're mouthing it. It's like the worst. Oh, my God.
BetterHelp.com. Code WTB.
So we are on the last quarter of this episode. It has been a blast having you guys on. Thank you so much for taking time to talk
to us.
Sure. And even though it was contentious, it was still a really good time with Adam versus guests. You do need to come back. And don't worry, man. We're going to team up.
I'm on a real slip.
We're going to take them.
I'm on a real slip and slide.
So, guys.
Oh, we have other guests lined up before they come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Though. Yeah, we can have some fun.
Oh, this losing streak could go on and on.
I hope not. So, guys, we are at Adam's favorite part of the program because he does need some Xanax. This is questions from the internet. So, guys, I pose to you, what is your favorite Will Ferrell movie, and is it better than your favorite John C. Reilly movie? Adam.
So originally I thought it was the same movie, which was Step Brothers.
Yeah.
But I clarified with you and it's not the same movie. So my favorite Will Ferrell movie is Step Brothers.
Yeah.
And it is not as good as my favorite John C. Reilly movie, which is Gangs of New York.
Oh, wonderful movie. My God. That's a wound. That's cool.
Gangs of New York is fucking awesome.
Gangs of New York is incredible. And plus, you got a young Leonardo DiCaprio on there with the Lucky Rabbit's foot. You're killing it, dude. So good. Yeah.
Bill the Butcher. Come on.
So good. So good. What about you, Jason?
Gangs was on my radar.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe I'll go a little bit different.
Time out.
What?
Whenever we were at dinner earlier today, Jason and I said, I'm pretty sure we're going to have the same John C. Reilly movie.
So. Yeah.
I'm going to hold mine back, and I will answer whether or not, we have the same gut.
I hope you guys have the same
gut. So for Will Ferrell, I mean, we're brothers, probably think alike, but Will Ferrell movie, I picked Old School.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And for John C. Reilly, I picked Boogie Nights.
Oh, wonderful. Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, we did not pick the same one.
I like how they, casually talk about the clap in that movie. It's really good.
What are you doing? What do you think they're doing? So my favorite Will Ferrell movie, I put Anchorman because I've never been in a movie before where I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to laugh or shriek in horror whenever Jack Black kicked that dog over the bridge.
Oh, that was good.
And I just sat there, what? And then I started laughing. My favorite John C. Reilly movie was For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. He's his catcher.
That's a really good one. I do like that. But John C. Reilly is starting a lot of movies. That's why this question was very poignant. Yeah. I would say my favorite Will Ferrell movie is Semi-Pro because I do love Jackie Moon. I love just getting that shit going. But my favorite John C. Reilly movie is We Need to Talk About Kevin because he gets killed with a bow and arrow at the end. I'm kidding. It's Dewey Cox. And I love that movie,
it's a good movie too.
So much. And I think that movie absolutely smashes Semi-Pro because...
That's why I asked if he needed to be featured or a lead.
And it could be either one because I think...
Because if it was a lead, it was that movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it could be anything because, if you really think about it, Will Ferrell's had some fun start, co-starring roles as well.
Old School.
Yeah, which is fantastic. The Dragon. But
honorable mention though, especially for the season, Elf for Will.
So
Ferrell.
Good, yeah.
It was very close, but oh man,
when he's destroying Step Brothers all those kids.
Step Brothers was on last night, and I was like,
"You stop what you're doing." There are only a couple movies that stop me in my tracks when I'm doing anything, and one of them is Step Brothers. The other one's Big.
Oh, yeah, nice,
dude.
Yeah.
I will stop everything I'm doing. Watch Big. Oh, fuck, I love it so much.
I think my favorite line from Step Brothers is when the mother goes, I saw my son use a bike as a weapon against a child today.
He was trying. He looked at my ear and he said, let's get it on. So number two here, you guys can pick any animated universe to live in. What is it and why would you want to live there? Adam.
So originally,
what hentai movie are you picking?
You know what? That's not a bad choice.
I want to get tentacled.
So no, my original choice was Bob's Burgers.
That's a good one.
Just because I love that show, but it's too much regular day shit.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Futurama.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, well, Leela's hot, so that helps. But it's also futuristic, and you get to see all the technology.
I do like that.
You kind of get blasted future to a world that's not going to end in a dystopia World War III.
A handful of hours as we're sitting here.
So, yeah, Futurama.
I like that one a lot. Jason?
I'm going to go with, and I apologize for being very old school, but the Looney Tunes universe, because you can get blown up with dynamite, anvil dropped on your head, and you're still walking around the very next day.
You get suicide boosts in Futurama.
Plus, sometimes there's a really hot girl walking by, but sometimes it's Bugs Bunny and drag, which
I was
if that's your thing,
you.
It's fine, but it's not my thing.
Did your junk move just a little? Anytime he came out in the blonde wig and he was like, what's up, Doc? It's him. You're like, I probably still fuck that rabbit, right?
I mean, he had Yosemite Sam going. You know what I mean?
And if you could trick a Texan.
That's right.
You're doing something right.
You're letting this guy name one of my beers.
Looney Tunes.
I didn't let him do anything.
Leela is fire.
She is fire. Zach.
Okay, so I had two thoughts in my mind along similar lines to Adam. I was thinking the Jetsons because you're futuristic, you get flying cars and things like that. My wife and I were so excited whenever Elon Musk announced that he was getting behind the Hyperloop because her family lives in Philadelphia. She has a cousin that lives in Chicago. I was like, we can have, you know, dinner on the weekends. We can have babysitters whenever we want, you know, that type of thing. The other answer that I was looking at was Doug.
Oh, because, yeah.
I mean, middle school is pretty much where I peaked socially. I didn't, you know, there's only...
can I say, though, I couldn't tell.
There's only one bully that you have to worry about, really. You know, I mean, life just seemed very simple.
The green dipshit Roger Klotz is the
one. Roger Klotz is the only one you have to worry about. So,
Patty Mayonnaise.
Old Scott Farkas.
Old Patty Mayonnaise, she was a fucking... I'll tell you what. Chalky Studebaker, move the fuck over. Patty Mayonnaise is my shit.
Topanga who?
I would say, for me, the animated universe I want to live in, and it sounds kind of weird, but it's a thing. Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I have a line. It's like, ooh, where are my glasses? Oh, where are your glasses? I like Scooby-Doo a lot.
You going after Velma?
Oh, 100%. I do love Velma, but I've always been intrigued by Scooby-Doo because it was like horror for kids. Mm-hmm. You know, like there was monsters, ghouls, ghosts, whatever.
It does make sense. It's like a Scream movie for kids.
Yeah, and I love Scream. And it was always like, I can't believe it was the guy we always thought it was.
And Velma's a nerdy thick baddie.
Yeah, so. And that's my fucking lane, bro. tell me about it. And I like orange. I don't know. So yeah, that's what I picked too. So this is the question I want to direct towards Jason and Zach first, and then Adam, you can defend yourself. Who do you guys really think won between Adam and I in the Dangerous Toys Hunger Game? Because Adam got to wear flubber lingerie, which, ooh la la, that's sick, but I had fucking lawn darts, bro. So I just want to know, as a third party, non-biased,
I had Wakanda gloves.
And you have, okay, yeah, Wakanda gloves, but you had to flick my glasses up and then
and uranium
that I took off. So but who do you think won Dangerous Toys Hunger Games?
I'm going to defer to Jason because, as was mentioned on the promo, I'm a few weeks behind in listening.
Okay.
I only get a chance to listen whenever the wife's asleep, the baby's asleep, and I don't have anything else going on.
Don't
so.
Poison your kids with us.
Yes. So there we go. Yeah.
My I'm going to take you through my reasoning first, and then hopefully I'll be able to come to a final answer because I'm not quite sure I even have one yet. But so, like Adam said, defense in a lot of sports wins championships. He is the only one out of you two who thought to put a suit of armor on, albeit flubber, as a defense mechanism, whereas you didn't. However, in a lot of your description of how you plan on taking down Adam, it involved chemicals and consuming chemicals edibly.
Which
and
he would.
The boy likes to eat.
Yeah.
So if you showcase them the right way, you can get him. He's not going to eat flubber. That's
I
gonna
presented
be
him on wings.
Yes.
I literally. So 3 hours before we started.
Yeah.
3 hours before we started filming the podcast today, I ate a whole flatbread pizza. Then 1 hour before we filmed the podcast, I ate 10 wings.
And you're telling me I couldn't kill you with asbestos wings?
No, I'm saying, no matter how much his outside is protected, you're getting in there, and you're going to get him. I'm predicting Matt takes down Adam in the Hunger Games.
Two losses today! Look at that, motherfucker!
I disagree. If it was a battle to the death, I'm not eating treats.
So, so you lost, but let's go to this next thing, right? It's me and you versus them. Oh, we're killing them in their sleep.
We don't even have any toys.
Yeah, we'll just fucking choke you.
It'll be easy. Once I take these hearing aids out, you could probably bang pots together. I won't wake up.
That's perfect, because we're going to shove flubber down your throat.
We'll kind of close.
Get the clackers.
Uranium was my fucking
that was your chemical warfare.
I was cooking him from the inside out.
I did appreciate that. I did have one person sneak into my DMs and ask me if my ass was cooked with uranium, if they could eat it. And I said, You could eat it without the uranium. Ooh, that's nice. So,
did you get any more messages on Spotify?
I got a couple. Yeah, I got one in particular that I published directly to the episode. Said I have a piece on me, and they're not wrong. So, thank you, Adam. Boost of confidence I needed. So, again, Meshers, it's a delight to have you guys on. And down the road, you're going to have to face off against the greatest tag team of podcast history. And we're going to fucking smash you. There's nothing you can do about it. So this whole,
good job, boys.
Top guys.
Yeah. Just because you're wearing a shirt doesn't mean shit to me, bro.
Shout out to Vince. Yeah. Thanks for the shirt.
But thank you guys for coming on. So
hold on a second. Good job, you two. Fuck you, Vince.
Yeah, what'd he ever do anyway? Tell me why I'm telling lies. So
who'd he ever beat?
We're moving into what's on top and where can you find us. So if you guys want to drop your socials real quick for people to know where they can find you guys and what you guys are getting into your beer adventures next.
On Facebook and Instagram, Mesh Mash Brewing.
We promise to have a more prominent presence in 2024 and going forward than we do now. Yeah.
Okay. Adam, what's on tap and where can you find us?
Yeah, we got a little bit of the English Special Bitter on tap. And then we have new to the taps. Our Bellini Brewed IPA for New Year's is going strong. Then we have a little bit of the Toasted Marshmallow IPA on our third tap. And then on number four, we got the Christmas Holiday Braggot still going there, with cranberry and lingonberry, as well as a strong honey presence. So hit me up. We are into the second half of that one as of this recording. So. Yeah.
What would you say, Seltzer, coming up soon in 2024?
Shut the fuck up.
You don't get to pick what I brew. You're just me. I ain't brewing no fucking seltzer.
No way, dude. That shit sucked on ice. So if anyone's going to add down here in the brew lab, it's at @Bash_brew on all social media, Facebook,
these
Instagram.
These guys think they have all the fucking power over here.
X. X. You want to go to the boys out here, Judge Schoenberger, at Decay and WTB on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, YouTube. We're on everything. It starts with social, ends with media. You can find us there. Don't forget about YouTube. It's blowing up right now. Thank you guys so much for all the new subscribers and all the views we've gotten as of late. You guys are making this more than worth it to do every week. So where we are right here, looking across the table at what might be some formidable foes. Until next time, Happy New Year and cheers.
Happy New Year.
Cheers.
Happy New Year. Happy anniversary, hon.
Can you take me higher? I see Lars Ulrich there. Are you making that one up?
No, I'm not making that up. I saw that on a reputable source, Vanity Fair. They would not lie.
Very reputable.
Welcome,
friend of the podcast, Vanity Fair.
Dude, there's nobody good.
There's nobody good. Only you. You're the only shining star.
Mao Zedong.
That's what I'm saying. Wow.
And there's Lars right next to him.
Yep. There you go. Told you,
make
man.
Jeez, man. The world seem good. Oh my God, Chris Daughtry.
Yes. That's a good one. Yes.
It's I'm not home.